Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand that finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm here with my co-host, George Amador III. So, G, it's great to have you here.
Absolutely. Thanks. I always love being here, and I'm really excited. We're continuing this series, Establishing Your Financial Freedom. We're talking through money misconceptions, and because there's a lot of them, this is part two.
Yes.
So we're going to go over a couple of more money misconceptions in today's episode, and I'm really excited about it. You know, when we look at all of the content that we've done so far in this series, I think, again, it really goes back to control, right?
Yes.
Establishing financial freedom is about understanding who is in control. Is your money in control, or are you in control of your money?
Right.
And so today is really great because we're going to talk a lot about the five areas where people sometimes lose money unknowingly, unnecessarily. We're going to hit on mortgages, what sometimes is good or bad about the mortgage world, compound interest, what does that actually mean versus amortized interest, the interest I pay over a loan. So a lot to go over today, but a really good episode.
Right. And I like that when people can understand that part of having financial freedom, which you and I have already agreed and we talked about it on our roundtable, is that financial freedom means something different to everyone.
Yeah.
But there is one common thing that we need to understand is that we need to educate and gather the information and challenge our mindsets, which is exactly what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And then once we have it, that's where that important role of sitting down with a financial advisor and saying, hey, wait a minute, this is my aha moment that I just had.
Yeah.
How do I now apply it to my situation? And gee, some of the things that I see is that people will find the information, even the information we might be giving tonight and or today, whenever people are watching this. But as they get this information, they just quick want to act on it. And they don't know how to apply it to their finances.
Yes.
And I think it's so important sitting down with someone you trust, not just a buddy who's in the same financial situation that you're in, unless it's a really good financial situation. But anyways, you want to sit down with people that you can trust who are trained in this area of finances so that you can put that plan together.
Yeah.
So that you know, hey, I like how everything's turning out.
Exactly. Exactly. It's education. It's application. Implementation, right? Those three pieces. We want to educate ourselves, apply it. Don't skip that step. Apply it to your situation. Does this work for me?
Right.
If so, okay, great. Let's actually implement that. And that usually comes with the financial advisor relationship, making sure it applies correctly and we can use the strategy the right way.
Right. And one more comment on that. I have seen situations, as you have, where someone has learned something and said, oh, I just found out this great thing. I want to put it together in my life. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Because that really is not going to help you because your situation, maybe it was tax-wise or cash flow-wise, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But let's dive into what we were talking about. And I want to talk about the five areas that people are losing money unknowingly and unnecessarily. They have no clue that it's slipping through their hands. So let's start talking about them.
Yeah. So, you know, we believe that statement right there, right? We believe, and I truly believe as a planner, that there are areas in life, particularly five areas in life, where people do lose money unknowingly and unnecessarily.
Right.
And what happens oftentimes is those typically when we are faced with that moment of, hold on a second, am I really losing money that I don't know about, or am I losing money unnecessarily? That turns into the aha moment a lot of times to then say, okay, here's what's actually happening. So the five big areas that we talk about all the time, number one is taxes, right? Taxes are inevitable. There's two things in life that are inevitable, death and taxes, right?
That's
So we don't want to avoid taxes, but we definitely want to pay as little as possible when it comes to that. So no evading of taxes here at the Crystal Clear Finances office. But when I can lower taxes as much as possible, that's a very good thing, because that typically is an area, because for whatever reason, taxes is this crazy unknown. I have to talk to a CPA, otherwise I can't understand tax. And that's usually an area where people first were going to lose that unknowingly and unnecessarily. Another one's education, right? We pay for education, whether it's through student loans, whether we pay for our kids to go to school, where a lot of times we will lose that money unknowingly, unnecessarily, due to whether it's the loans that we take out or, hey, I'm going to sacrifice my retirement to pay for my children's college. Yeah. I know there's a lot there, but that's sometimes another conversation where we have to really dig deeper and say, what's the best option there?
Right.
Another one's 401k. So 401k is a big one where we are putting money aside into a 401k traditionally at work. If I have a 401k or a 403b or 457, something like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm putting money in to hopefully get a tax deduction.
Right.
So that way later on in life, when I take that money out, hopefully it's more because it's grown with the market, mm-hmm. but now I have to pay taxes on that. Well, if you haven't actually sat down and gone, am I going to be in a higher tax bracket or a lower tax bracket in retirement? Am I putting more money away subject to whatever the government feels like they want to do in 30 years from now, mm-hmm. or 10 years from now, whenever I'm going to retire and need the money? So there's a lot there. That's another big area. Mm-hmm. Another one that is important is a major capital purchase, right? So a major capital purchase, something that I can't pay for with my monthly cash flow,
mm-hmm.
meaning I might have to go into debt to get it. A car purchase, a wedding, college sometimes is also there, but the major capital purchase is another area where I have to really look at, what is the interest rate that I'm going to take out for a loan versus how much am I earning? We're going to talk all about that. And then lastly, and I think which segues perfectly into what we want to talk about, mm-hmm. more specifically for today's episode, is mortgage. Mortgage
right.
is the other area where a lot of times individuals, and I see this, you, I know you see this.
Right.
George, I have to get the 15-year mortgage. It's going to save me all of this time. It's going to save me all of this
exactly.
money. That's the best thing to do. That's not necessarily the best thing to do. Sometimes the 30-year can win.
Mm-hmm.
And so mortgage is another big area, or even refinancing. Oh my goodness, I have to refinance. Rates went down 0.25%. George, should I refinance, right? So we have to look at all of these different areas. Those are the big five
right.
that people do tend to lose money unknowingly, unnecessarily. And it's my job as a financial planner to point those out
mm-hmm.
in my client's life and say, hey, let's address those. Let's make sure that we're on the right track
right.
because at the end of the day, forget about earning extra percentages or rate of returns. If I can find money that you were unknowingly and unnecessarily losing
right.
and put that back in your life for you, again, to control your finances, now we're in a great financial place for financial freedom.
And George, I just love what you've just said, because a lot of times when people are working with a financial advisor, they don't even think about these. They're just
yeah.
saying, oh, I talk with my financial advisor because it's all about rate of return, or what do I invest in, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And really what a good financial advisor does is says, hold on a minute, let's look at the whole picture. Because
yeah.
as we talked in last week's episode, we showed that if we can find ways that we can save just 1%,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the savings on money that we're losing unknowingly and unnecessarily can surpass the rate of return that we're getting on investments.
Yeah.
So if we can get both of them firing full, you know, on track,
mm-hmm.
we can really save money, invest money, and get ready for retirement. So
yeah.
those are key areas.
For sure.
But you're right. I do want to kind of focus on one a little bit more, because the mortgage one seems to be the big deal.
Yeah.
And people meet with me all the time, and it's usually, I know, I'm going to stereotype, please forgive me, but I am a woman, so I'm stereotyping against us. Because what happens a lot of time, G, is people will come in and the husband will say, hey, listen, I'm okay with taking a mortgage, but my wife says every penny, nickel, and dime we have, we're going to pay over and above on our mortgage so we can be debt free.
Mm.
And there's some friction there, and a lot of it's a safety issue.
Mm.
But tonight what I want to do, and for those who are watching on YouTube, yes, they are a little special advantage here, because they're going to be seeing what I'm putting on my computer right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are listening to us through radio, yeah, come on over to our YouTube channel and subscribe.
Yep.
But I want to kind of walk through this, because there's a misconception that a 15-year mortgage is better for you than a 30-year mortgage because people are just focusing on, oh, I got to get that debt off my shoulder and look at all the interest that I would pay. And they're not looking at the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to show, and I'm going to talk it through for my radio listeners since they can't see this, and I'm going to show what if we were to have a mortgage, and I'm going to do a very small, well, let's just make it a $200,000 mortgage. And let's say that it's going to be for 30 years. And so right now, and I know I'm not using the actual amount, but I'm just going to say it's 3%. Mm-hmm. All right. So for 30 years, a $200,000 mortgage would be $843.21. Mm-hmm. And that's what people will pay for over the 30-year period. Mm-hmm. Now, I could go over and say, you know what? In the second mortgage, I'm going to make it for $200,000. But on this one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, well, it's for a shorter term. And so I'm only going to pay 2.75%. So 2.75%, which means that this one, you're going to pay $1,357.24. So mm-hmm. we can see there's a difference. Now, here's what happens, G. Many times people will put their back against the wall. They'll take this 15-year mortgage. They'll pay the highest amount, mm-hmm. be uncomfortable for 15 years, yep. be stressed, cause fights in their marriage. We're not going out to eat. We're not doing anything because we are locked to having to make that $1,300 mortgage.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid if they do the 30-year mortgage, well, gee, it will take forever and ever, amen, before mm-hmm. they're ever free. Mm-hmm. But what I want to do is I want to take a look at that. Because what if, as they work with our office, they were able to see that many times a 30-year mortgage can be paid off quicker, than a 15-year mortgage. So let's take a look at that. Let's pretend, and this is what I'm showing on my screen, mm-hmm. that the person who has the mortgage that's for 30 years, that's for $843, decides they're going to take the difference between the $843 and the $1,357 and say, you know what, I'm taking that and I'm going to go invest that. And I'm going to say that they're going to put it in an account. Maybe it's a Roth that we did or an individual or a joint account, regardless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just say they got 6%. So we're not going crazy, but we're saying they got 6%. So I'm going to go ahead, and as I click this button, here's a question that I want to show everyone. So here's the question. What rate of return would be required in that little investment account that we talked about in order for that account to be paid off in 30, to pay off a 30-year mortgage in just 15 years? So let me say that again so it sounds like English. What would you need to put in a side fund to pay off a 30-year mortgage quicker than you would a 15-year mortgage? Well, let's look at this. You would need to have a side account getting the difference between the 30-year and the 15-year mortgage. You're yep. just going to take that difference. Mm-hmm. If you only made 2.47% net after tax, mm-hmm. so we're not talking crazy, you would be able to take that money and pay off your mortgage in less than 15 years.
Mm. Pow! Yeah.
Mind blown.
And I just want to reiterate that point because this is where the misconception comes into play, mm-hmm. right? Is I have to take my most valuable dollars that I have today, put all of that extra towards my mortgage for the 15-year mortgage so I can be done in half the time. When in all reality, if we took the difference mm-hmm. from the 30-year to 15-year monthly payment and applied that to an account where we're getting interest.
Of 2.47.
Yes, 2.5% interest. I can take what I have built, mm-hmm. and before the 15-year time clock is up, I could then pay the rest of my mortgage off. That's what we're saying here.
Yes, that was a great lead-in, because my next slide that I'm showing is that I want to ask people, okay, so let's pretend, though, that we took that difference, and instead of getting the 2.47, we got the 6% interest we were talking about a moment ago. Mm-hmm. Well, then when could I pay off my mortgage? Mm. Survey says in 13.3 months. Okay, so let's just say this all in English. You go to the bank. You get a 30-year mortgage. You pay that $800. They say, oh, but wait. Don't you want a 15-year mortgage where you could pay $1,300? And you're like, no. I work with Crystal Clear Finances. I'm going to take the difference between my $800 and my $1,300,
yeah.
and I'm going to go put it in an account that they have. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just pretend our account was to get that 6%. Literally, 13 years later, in 3 months, mm-hmm. they could walk into the bank and say, I'm writing you a check to pay off this mortgage quicker than if you had done the 15-year mortgage.
Yeah.
And think of the less stress you would have had that whole time.
Yeah.
So my point, so many times people say, well, it's safer to do the 15 years. No, I would rather be holding on to my yeah. money, which goes back to what we're talking about.
All about it.
Financial freedom is having that control to say, huh, I'm seeing how money works. And while they're selling me a bill of goods that I need to go this way, maybe in my situation, I can get debt-free quicker by taking control of my money and investing it, because we don't know what life will bring along the way.
Sure.
So I just love this example, wanted to make sure that we shared it on the radio, and then, of course, so our viewers can see it on YouTube. But what a great example of how just understanding that there are places you're losing money unknowingly and necessarily, and you're stressing yourself out just because you're not taking the control you can have with your finances.
100%. And let me just add one more thing to that, right? In doing the 15-year mortgage, like you said, you're strapped. You have to pay the monthly bill, right? I remember I actually had a friend of mine who had a 30-year mortgage for a long time. And then interest rates dropped a couple years ago, and they're still pretty low, and said, I'm going to actually refi to a 15-year. And they, now, he had been having the he had the 30-year mortgage for quite some time. And so he wanted to jump to the 15-year because it would get paid off. And what ended up happening is that individual was, like you said, super stressed, because now the monthly bill that's required is much higher. In our example, right, we're taking the money, the difference. Well, what if in a month you don't have it? Okay, no problem. Like, at the end of the day, that's the point. The point is, I control my money.
Exactly.
The point is, if I can be on the hook to the bank for the least amount so I can keep the most amount, that to me is financial freedom, because I'm not tied to a 15-year mortgage that's harder to pay, when in all reality, if I can, hopefully with a good budget, you work with us, we can really make it happen to where I can take the extra when I have it, set it aside, earn some interest, and now look, I've done exactly what I wanted to do without the stress, and that's super key.
And I love that. So one of the things that, and I just want to kind of stay here for a moment. In fact, wait, maybe what we'll do is we'll take a quick 30-second break, and then we'll come back. Because when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that having that control and being able to write the check. Sometimes people don't even want to write the check when they have enough to pay off their mortgage because they're like, huh, my money's sitting right here getting me 6%.
Yep.
Why am I going to empty it now and go pay off the mortgage? Because they're willing to accept dollars that are continually to decline in purchasing value. I want to talk about that when we get back with more Crystal Clear Finances. You say tomato and I say tomato, yet they both mean the same thing. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. When you hear the words financial freedom, what comes to mind? For some, it's having the resources needed to live and give without concern of running out of money. For others, it's the ability to leave a job that they don't enjoy, to accept a position with lower pay but higher satisfaction. Regardless of your definition, we all have a form of financial freedom we want to enjoy. The key is defining what financial freedom means to you, then taking the first steps in gaining control over your finances by understanding how money works and how to apply it to your financial situation. Call Crystal Clear Finances today at 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every financial decision. And we're back. Here we are at Crystal Clear's Finances, and I am joined with George Amador III, the co-host on our program today. And gee, right before the break, we were talking about the fact that individuals have the option, if they've done their finances right, to keep in control of their money and hold on to the net amount instead of writing a big check and paying off their mortgage. You know, there's a smaller example of this that I want to show on the YouTube channel. So again, my radio listeners, jump on over there so that you can see this. But we run into a lot of examples where individuals want to keep giving the bank more and more money because they want to get rid of the payment. So they're looking at that. But I want to challenge that thinking today. When we're talking about financial freedom, let's talk about this. Let's pretend, and I'm going to go back to that other example. Let's pretend what I'm showing on my computer screen is that you are paying $850 a month for your mortgage. And we're going to pretend that over the course of time, you know, you have inflation and coming in there, what is it going to be worth? So as I put my auto step on and I say, okay, so here's $850 a month, what I want to look at is, what is $850 a month worth 10 years from now? $850 that we have today, 10 years from now, you can only buy 632 cents worth of goods. So why would I take money that is a dollar worth a dollar today, that's the most valuable dollar right today, and I want to quit, give it all to the bank? Why wouldn't I want to keep that? And if the bank is willing to take little pieces of my $850 every month that is declining in value over time, hey, more power to you. Because then I'm going to keep the money here and make my money earn more money. In fact, when I look out and we say, okay, so what is 20 years from now when you have a mortgage that you're paying $850 and you're saying, oh, I got to get that off my shoulders, it's too big of a debt. Understand that 20 years from now, with just 3% inflation, really it would be as if you were writing a check for $470.62. Again, it's because the bank has said, hey, I'll be on the hook for 30 years. Yeah. I'll take your $850 a month, even though I know 30 years from now or even 20 years from now, it's worth half of that almost. We've got to understand we keep our most valuable dollars for ourselves and we stay in control. Now, if something bad happens, okay, so we take out the pen. Oh, I guess your generation doesn't write checks, but in my generation, we would write a check. So you take out your debit card or however you want to do it, and we begin to realize that we can always pay it off if we want to. We're just being smart and saying, but should we? And that becomes the question.
Yeah, and that, if for those of you who don't know, welcome to the time value of money. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, because at the end of the day, let's pull back the curtain in the financial industry for a moment so people can really see this. And go back and watch our roundtable, because I talk about this in our roundtable. When you specifically look at what the bank is doing, the bank is not dumb. The bank knows how to make money. And if the bank knows that they can take your most valuable dollars and go get more interest somewhere else, then they're gonna do that.
All day long.
All day long. So why shouldn't we do that?
Exactly.
Why shouldn't we be in a position where instead of giving the bank all of my valuable dollars, I give them what is required and I keep my most valuable dollars today and go get myself interest somewhere else so my green tank can grow? That is really, really important to understand, because really what we're doing is, and I get this all the time, even with, I have a lot of friends who want to pay off all their student loans as fast as possible. And I understand, you know, you don't want to necessarily have student loans, you know, but not all debt is bad debt.
Right. And we would look at the interest rate and everything too on
totally.
It. Just a little disclosure there. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. But the point is, you know, some debt is necessary. The student loan was necessary to get your college degree, to hopefully have a better job, to get better pay and blah, blah, blah. Right. So you look at it that way, but you have to think for a moment, okay, if I have this student loan and I'm going to pay all of this extra of what? My most valuable dollars and give that to the bank, then I have lost control of those dollars.
Yeah.
When at the end of the day, assuming again, interest rates make sense and we can work the numbers out, if the numbers work out that in your situation, again, this is why educate then apply to your situation. If it works in your situation to do so, where you could go get more interest than they're charging you for your student loans, it makes more sense to keep those extra dollars. And I know mentally we want to get rid of debt, but we can actually go create that wealth, get rid, disconnect from the zero line. Everything
That's
we've talked about, be in control of our money simply by saying, listen, I don't have to prepay all of this debt. I don't have to prepay all of my mortgage or all of my student loans, whatever it may be. If the numbers work, and this is what we do with people every day in our office, sit down, hey, do the numbers work?
Right.
And if they do, this is a common way where people lose money unknowingly and unnecessarily, and they don't have to.
Right. And I think there's a lot of stigma of, oh my goodness, I got to make sure all debt is removed. And please understand, as you're listening, Crystal Clear Finances is not telling you go get into debt. That is not what we want. We want you to be financially free.
That's right.
But to me, I look at debt and say debt is the inability to pay what you owe. So if I have my money to the side and my money's making more for me in interest than what I'm paying out in interest, I'm going to do that all day long because I'm going to make my most valuable dollars make me money, and I will pay those little pieces of interest with my declining. And at any time, like we said before, I can pay off all that debt because we're financially free, right? But it's the control. So let's go to our next topic, which is compounding interest and amortization.
So this is a fun one because when we look specifically at interest, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when you hear the word interest, you associate debt, you associate bad. Well, there is a really good interest, and it's called compound interest.
Yes.
And this is something that actually benefits you in life. And I'm also looking at the time going, we're going to have to do this in 5 minutes. But when you look specifically at compound versus amortized interest, the one thing you have to realize, when you take out a loan, whether it's a car loan, a student loan, a mortgage, like we mentioned before, mm-hmm. the bank wants your most valuable dollars. And the way that they establish a loan is a portion of the payment goes towards the interest, what mm-hmm. they're charging to purchase. And the other portion of the payment is going to your principal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a mortgage, traditionally, more of the interest is up front and more of the principal is on the back end, mm-hmm. right? So when we look at amortizing interest, so the interest over the life of a loan, more interest is charged up front. Why? The bank wants your most valuable dollars.
Yes.
And less interest is charged later, or that payment cycle changes, simply due to the fact that we're trying to get the most valuable dollars to get to our interest.
Right.
With compound interest, it doesn't work that way. With compound interest, there's not a set schedule. In compounding interest, if I have a dollar that makes me money,
mm-hmm.
then tomorrow, if I have $2 because I made that money, then my $2 can make me that same amount of interest. And if that $2 goes to $4, then the $4 starts the compounding and I go to $8.
Yes.
And 8 to 16 and 32, and we can go on and on and on. But my point is, compounding interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Compounding interest allows for you to start at point A,
mm-hmm.
in a year from now, be a little bit larger to then start the compounding again. So by the time you get to point B, your money has compounded, that's the mm-hmm. point, over time to make extra dollars.
Right. And I think what happens is because we don't have compounding interest in a lot of different places, we look at the bank and we get point nothing.
Mm.
People are overlooking the compounding and they're only experiencing compounding interest on the negative side, like your credit cards,
yeah.
or like any other area where the debt people are saying, hey, you owe us this money.
Mm.
But if we can start waking up and saying, hey, wait a minute, I like that compounding interest thing. I'm going to have it work for me.
Mm.
Boy, now we begin seeing a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
So what I have on my screen, which yep. I know in 60 seconds that I'm going to quickly show, is if you look on our YouTube channel, you're able to see that we put in there $30,000 and we're pretending this $30,000 is going to be in a green tank, which we talk about, which mm-hmm. is safe money, and it's going to have compounding interest.
Yep.
So we're saying this 5% is growing. We know over a course of 5 years, as we can see on the screen, that $30,000 grows to $38,501.
Mm.
So now here's my question. My question is, if you have $30,000 and you go pay for a car and you said, I'm going to pay cash for it because I don't want any debt, what did that car really cost you?
Mm.
Did it cost you $30,000 or did it cost you the $38,501? Just over that 5 year period.
Yes.
Does it really have a long term impact when you empty out a savings account that has compounding interest?
Mm.
Yeah, it really does cost you. And while you're thinking, huh, look at all that interest I saved, well, you may have saved interest, but now you gave up the right to earn interest.
Yes.
And that's huge. What we're going to do at our next time when we get together, our yep. next program, I promise, we will make sure we finish this discussion because I'm looking at the clock and realizing I talked too much. I didn't get to all the details. So when we go on our next one, we'll do amortization.
Yep.
Because let's do our closing thoughts and then I'm going to pass it over to you. I want to encourage our listeners and those who are viewing to understand that financial freedom is all about control.
Yes.
There are things that are happening in your life right now that are happening unknowingly and unnecessarily that we can stop, but we got to slow down and be able to address it.
Absolutely. Those five areas are so key. And when we look at all different areas in your life to say, hey, is there a place that I can control my money? Is mm-hmm. there a place that I can look at my finances and say, I can take that back.
Yes.
I can take that control. That is a step in the right direction for mm-hmm. financial freedom. Give us a call and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Great. So join us again next week for more Crystal Clear Finances, where we believe that you can have confidence for every financial decision. God bless.
This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC. AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.